Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawley's Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with the dancing Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawley's head coach, Chris Hinches.
Well, Chris, coming off, you know, last week's bye, did you have a good Friday night? Did you do anything different? Or?
Well, you know, what we really did, I guess, was we as coaches, we got together and said goodbye to Coach Wade.
Yeah.
You know, he left on Saturday morning, so we had one last chance to get together and, you know, to have some fun as coaches and our wives and, you know, say goodbye to a really good friend, a good man, a good coach, and, you know, been with us for 3 years, and we all hate to see him go, and he hated to go, but, you know, serving our country in the Army, you know, duty calls, and, you know, we all understand that. But so that's what we did on Friday night, and, you know, the boys had a chance to say goodbye to him. We lifted Friday after school, and he came by for that. That was the last time he'd get a chance to talk to the team. But that's what we did Friday.
Okay. Do you think you used the bye week to its biggest advantage?
I think we did. And I said we were able to do some things we hadn't been able to really do since camp. You know, when you get into the meat of the season, you know, particularly as you go from by mid-season, you want to start shrinking your practice time a little bit. You can't keep them out here till 3 or 4 hours every night. You just can't. And so a lot of the things, you know, some individual techniques like pursuit drills and, you know, what we call our TDT drills and, you know, strip drills, fumble drills, things like that you hadn't done really since camp. You know, offensively, getting in the chutes, working on double teams and, you know, a lot of things that sometimes throughout the week we don't have time to work extensively. We might introduce them or bring them up just in small little, you know, 2 or 3, you know, maybe 5 minute pods, but to be able to say, all right, we got 10 minutes or we got 15 minutes to work on perimeter drill or, you know, do a long set of 7-on-7. Those are things we normally don't do during the course of a season that we were able to get done last week.
Question I've always wondered, let's just say you're in a game and you suddenly realize that a play maybe from week 2 would work in like week 8. How comfortable are you with, you know, pulling that out of the playbook?
Very comfortable. Always, okay. Always comfortable with our kids and our coaches because we build concepts. We don't just work on plays. We build concepts. And we work on concepts and which ones we think will be successful. And so once we have taught those and we teach those throughout the summer, throughout fall camp, there can be a, you know, whether it's a run concept or some sort of quick tag or, you know, a deeper shot pass concept or sprint out tag, we know we can pull it out and our kids will remember it. You know, it may take, hey, call timeout, bring them together. You guys remember this. Hey, this is what we think this is going to work. The kids can do it. We're blessed. We get a chance to coach some really smart kids.
Okay. So this week, Washington, been a while since you played the Blue Jays. I think back maybe 2002 or 3.
Yeah,
maybe?
I think you're right. Yeah. Back probably when Kyle Shimmons was was quarterback for us back in 2000 area, you know, early 2000s. You know, it's a football team I think has really improved a lot. You know, they are fundamentally sound. They're good at what they do. I think they present a unique challenge. And we have challenged the kids this week. You know, as a group, we feel that this might be the best offensive and defensive line that we've faced perhaps all season.
Uh-huh. You know, one thing they like to do is run the football.
Yep, and, you know, they're big. Their guys come off the line of scrimmage. You know, they are a run-based offense, kind of a version of a little bit of flex bone. They have some, you know, wing T principles, but they also have some I formation principles. And, you know, they will run two-man veers, you know, what we call two-man options, three-man triple options, and their quarterback is key to all of that. You know, they've only thrown the ball 24 times this entire season. I mean, we've had more than half of our games we've thrown that much in one game. So that they're not a pass-first offense. They're a run-first offense. And, you know, that's going to be key for us. And so I would say it's, you know, it's very similar to maybe how we prep for the Jeff City game.
Okay. How about defensively? What do they do?
Defense, they are 4-3 defense. Yeah. They have run some 3-4 early in the year against Union, but Union's pretty much a 5-wide team. Yeah. We're not really a 5-wide team. We will run it, but you know, we do a lot of tight end based stuff. So we're anticipating a 4-3. That's what they played, you know, 85% of their snaps this year. But, we've introduced the other defensive things. We feel really comfortable running against a 4-3, both in run game and pass game. It is our base defense where we begin all of our base teaching. So we've been running against a 4-3 pretty much since June. So our kids are comfortable with where we feel they're going to line up. You're always ready for a few possible wrinkles, but we think we know how they're going to line up against us and know how we want to attack it.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And before Tom and I get things started here, let me just take a moment to thank some of our goal line sponsors this season. We'd like to thank Stockman Construction, Summit Auto Service and Tire, Graves & Associates CPAs, Hawthorne Bank, Schulte's Fresh Foods, and the Versalois Construction Company.
Thank you.
Well, Tom, we knew that last week the Crusaders would have plenty of time to prepare for somebody. We were kind of thinking it would be Washington. It was Washington as they advanced in Class 5 District 4 with a 35-8 win over Capital City. So it's the 2-seed Helias, hosting the 3-seed Washington. So I guess, what did you notice anything about that win that kind of stood out, or did Coach Henches mention anything about that victory that stood out, or was it just kind of a matter of kind of things playing out how we all kind of assumed they would?
Yeah, I think it was just a matter of people, it played out like everybody thought. Capital City just not quite ready yet to have the team to advance in a district yet. 6-seed, always tough going on the road. And Washington obviously is a good football team. They've won their last 5, and so they're on a bit of a roll right now, so you kind of expected this is what you would see.
Right. I know when we talked last week, they weren't going to spend too much time, looking too far ahead and more concentrating on themselves. So I guess the first question is, how did that attention to themselves work out last week in terms of, were they able to kind of get done what they wanted to get done with their bye week last week?
Yeah, it's part of what the conversation I had with Chris. I said, did you get done what you wanted to get done? And he goes, yeah. He said, once you get to the middle of the season on, you don't want to keep the kids out here for, 3 hours practicing every day.
Sure, right.
And so you obviously, that means you have to cut stuff out.
Okay.
That you might want to get on. And so he said, basically, he didn't exactly want to say we went back to camp, but that's basically what they did. They went back to camp a lot.
Okay.
They spent 10, 15 minutes doing drills like he told me, fumble recovery drills.
Okay.
Or, extra attention to special teams, things like that. Just things they haven't had a chance to do. They went and got those in to kind of try to sharpen that stuff up, as they get ready to start their postseason.
And I think sometimes that's the nice part about a bye week is, when you're in kind of the week-to-week grind, you're reticent to do anything that might involve maybe a little extra contact. You're a little shy. You want to shy away from extra contact. A bye week kind of gives you a chance to have some contact and still have it be less contact than you would have in a game, so you could maybe do some of those things. Like you say, like fumble recoveries, that sort of thing, you're probably not going to waste a lot of time on if you're like, kids are already beat up already. We don't want everybody getting in a scrum and the chance of getting hurt on a week where we got a short week. But when you got a week to recuperate off of anything that might happen, then you can probably work on stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll go like the special teams. Truthfully, Helias has great special teams.
Right.
Every year that is one of the strengths of their team. But, there's just not time as they're trying to get in offense and defense, with those guys also playing special teams to get a lot of work in.
Sure.
They put an extra time on like kickoff drills, covering kicks, covering punts, catching punts, catching kicks.
Yeah.
Things that could, right now you don't want those things to cost you a game in the districts.
And I think, we kind of lose sight of that sometimes when you kind of get to the higher levels of high school football where you maybe don't have, the necessity to play everybody on every important down. Sometimes you're right. You may not give extra reps to those kids that are already out there getting all the reps on this or that or the other. Helias is a little bit, bigger from the standpoint of that they don't need some, they don't have too many guys that have to do multiple things. They're able to kind of specialize a little bit more, but you do have some guys going both ways, so sometimes just having their time is a little bit harder to do that.
Yeah, that was really the big stress that he gave to me. He said, we found time to do things we thought we needed to work on. And while, yeah, they wanted to, they would have loved to play, have a game week of prep, I think in the long run, they didn't have this, they had a bye last year too, and it didn't hurt them.
Right.
So I think it's it was a good week to get stuff done, but they are most definitely ready to get back into football mode.
So the thing about that bye week sometimes is it's extra helpful to kind of give you an idea of what your opponent wants to do, kind of really get inside the nitty-gritty and kind of delve into it. I don't think they probably needed that too much with Washington, at least offensively, from the standpoint of I think we kind of know what they like to do. We're going to throw out one number and just say from the standpoint of they run about 600 offensive plays this year, and they've run the ball 32 times.
Pass the ball 32 times.
I'm sorry. So running, and more running is what we're going to expect from them.
Washington is just going to grind it on you.
Yeah.
Chris said that overall as a group. You said their offensive line and also their defensive line may be the best, again, as a group that they've played all year. There have been some pretty good standout individuals, you know, going through the CMAC and things, but said as a group, they're really, really good. They've got good size. They're a unit, you know, on offense. They move as one. They know what they're doing. They run their offense well, and then they take care of what they have to do on the line of scrimmage, and then you have to try to get to the backs. So... I think it'll be a good test. It's hard for a team to make a good living running the ball against Hawaii. It's tough. But if this is what they do well, you have to do what you do well and take if you have to have confidence in it and this is what you're gonna do. You know, I think it's going to be a really good matchup.
You know, I know when we talked to Capital City beat reporter Adam Feiner last week in preparation for that Cavaliers game against Washington, that was one of the biggest things that he kept harping on was just the amazing size that they have on that line. So that begs the question. I mean, we've seen this before. We've seen this for almost the entirety of the Crusaders football program. Is typically their line goes into most games undersized against most guys. So it's not the sort of thing that they're not accustomed to. But it does still bear mentioning that they've got quite a few big fellows where, you know, we're talking, you know, 6.5 feet tall, 300 pounds in the neighborhood. So that's not going to be unusual to see that from them. So I imagine it's just one of those things where you just go, yeah, we've done this before. We just got to do what we do best and try to, you know, counteract their size with our, you know, our technique and our ability to make plays.
Yeah, it's like, you know, nothing we haven't seen before. It comes down to, you know, they have good players. Don't take this the wrong way, but it comes down to scheme.
Sure.
And players, smart players. Smart players knowing not to try to do too much, do my job, and depend on the guy to the left of me, to the right of me, behind me, knowing that they're going to do their job, and we can get the job done.
Yeah. So while we kind of know what to expect from Washington offensively, it's a three-headed monster. I mean, you typically, in a run-heavy attack, you go, well, guess what? The quarterback's probably going to run the ball a lot, and there's probably going to be a couple running backs that run the ball a lot, and that is the case. I mean, Cam Millhiser's the quarterback, and it sounds like, you know, he's having a pretty good season, and he's bolstered by two running backs, you know, in Landon Bolton and Evan Gaither, I guess is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Landon Boston, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, from that standpoint, we kind of know that those are the guys that are probably going to see the bulk of the carries.
Yeah. Chris said, you know, Millhiser likes the ball in his hands. And goodness, you know, he's had success. I don't know why he wouldn't. He said the key for them is making sure that you get it out of his hands.
Okay.
You know, they run a little bit, you know, anymore. It's kind of, you can't say they do this one thing. Because people have got, you know, there's little tweaks to everything.
Right.
It's a bit of a flex bone. They've got a little bit of some wing tee. They will also jump into an I formation every once in a while. They've got all these little principles that you've got to prepare for. But he said it all starts with the quarterback. And the idea is, while he may want to run with it, you got to get the ball out of his hands. You want him to make it the second or third option is the defensive guys you want. On defense, you want their second and third option having the ball as opposed to the quarterback.
You know, we talk about this a lot, or we talk about the Crusader success on defense this year, and we've talked about how well they've played overall. How much of that is going to be something that they're going to need to rely on in a game like this where you may see different formations? I got to imagine that, you know, the defense has played so well this year that they're probably pretty good at a lot of things. But how much of this is going to be really keyed on in terms of just recognition and recognizing what they're in and then getting the right, you know, the right defense called for that particular formation?
You know, the coaches in the district got together and decided everybody's film where every game was going to go up, and everybody would have access to everyone's film.
Okay.
So they've seen, they've done a breakdown on literally every play they've run, Washington's run.
Sure.
So, and then they've kind of designed the defense around it.
Okay.
So they have a pretty good idea of what they're doing. I think Elias has seen all kinds of different offenses during the year. They've kind of prepared for a little bit of everything. Part of my conversation with Chris had to do with offense, but I think this comes back to defense as well. you can draw back on something you did from week two or week three.
Sure.
He said, our kids are smart enough. They know. He said, he meant to call a timeout and say, remember this? This is what we're doing now.
Right.
And he said, they're smart enough to recall it and that they'll be able to make the proper adjustments during the game.
Okay. Well, so if offensively we know what they're going to do, what do we expect from Washington on when it comes to defense? How adept are they going to be, or how much of a resistance are they going to provide
there,
for Elias?
There are times they've given up some points, but okay. it's you know, they run a 4-3, which is Elias's kind of base defense, so they've gone against it all year. Said that the one they have on true spread teams have gone to a 3-4, but Elias is really not a spread team anymore. So they, but they're kind of expecting we may see that too. So they've kind of prepared a little bit for that. The question is, how, if you're Elias, and I guess you do want to score every time, when you've got it. But my goodness, what you don't want to do is give them the ball back, because they will just grind and grind and grind. They punted less than 15 times this year.
Okay.
They are going to go for it.
Okay.
He said it's, fourth and five. Harken back a couple of years ago to Monroe City, to where they don't punt. They're just going to run. They're
right.
just going to run the ball. And
right.
He said fourth and five, fourth and six. They're confident they can get those yardage.
Okay.
And it's going to be up to. Well, I said we need to make them uncomfortable. We need the chains. We need to keep the chains in our favor.
Yeah.
First and 10 needs to be second and 9 or second and 8, and then
sure.
that needs to be third and 7 or third and 6.
Yeah.
And make sure that we try to get them. That offense off the field as quickly as we can.
Yeah, that's a good point, because sometimes I think when teams that are comfortable with going for it on fourth down are comfortable going for it on fourth and 3, fourth and 4, fourth and 5, you make it a little bit longer, then all of a sudden you take them out of that comfort zone and make them a little more uncomfortable, even if it's something they're comfortable doing.
Yeah, they average running like 60 plays a game, and I mean, my goodness, I can count on one hand the time Elias has run 60 plays a game.
Right.
So, you've got to be patient against them. You can't just try to make big plays. You've just got to hold them to one or two. Realize that 1 and 2 yards is good.
Yeah,
that's a good play. Now go do it again, and then do it again,
right.
And then do it again.
right.
Get the ball back.
So I guess we haven't talked about it too much. In fact, I don't even know that we've mentioned 7 o'clock Friday night.
Yeah, we have.
Henschel Stadium. How much of that is going to be helpful for the Crusaders from a standpoint of, you'll take any advantage you can at this time of year? Just have another home game in front of the home crowd, not having to take a bus trip. I'll take all those things whenever you give me the option to take which way you'd rather have it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be like 4 weeks since our last home game, bye week, and then the last two regular season games were on the road. Nice to be back at home. They'd much rather play at home than on the road. I mean, they're good on the road, don't get me wrong, but it's nice to have, the comfort's home, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want to look too far ahead, but it is worth mentioning the fact that, the other side of the bracket will include top-seeded Holt and hosting fourth-seeded Battle. Battle advanced with a 48-13 win over Wentzville Liberty. Do you see anything odd coming out of that game, or do you expect to see Holt coming out of that game?
People around here know Battle.
Mm-hmm.
Very athletic, and can come up with games that out of the blue.
Right.
And you just kind of go, can they put it all, if they can put it all together in one night, I think they would have a chance to beat Holt. But, they would need their A-plus game probably.
Sure.
Holt ranked number 3, undefeated. I would imagine, I would, Holt's probably going to win, but I wouldn't overlook Battle in that game, because I think if you do overlook them, that's when they may be able to come back and bite you.
Gotcha. All right, well, that'll lead us into the prediction for this game that we spent the most time talking about. So do you see Elias getting a victory on Friday night at 7 o'clock?
I do. I think this may be a bit of a lower scoring game because of the way Washington operates on offense.
Sure.
I don't think this is going to be one of those 42-49 point Elias performances.
Okay.
So I will take Elias 35-14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.